So we're continuing our series on the life of Joseph. It's in the first book of the Bible. It's in the book of Genesis. And while there is much to learn from Joseph's story, so much to learn, I'm really giving a laser focus because I feel like that's really a primary lesson. There's two themes, God's sovereignty and God's and the forgiveness. So which one do I speak on? Well, we're just merging them together. We're learning to choose forgiveness in God's sovereign purpose. But if you're saying, Eddie, I hear you talking about this lesson is all about forgiveness, it's all about forgiveness, but Eddie, we are 9 chapters into this story, and in every chapter that I've read up to this point, the word forgiveness does not show up at all. And that's true. There are actually 3 primary words in the Hebrew, that's the language of the Old Testament for forgiveness. And none of them are in Joseph's story with the exception of one. And it appears once at the very end of his story in chapter 50. And so when we get to chapter 50, we'll unpack that further. But here's the thing. While you don't see the word forgiveness, you see the action. As Eric was mentioning, it's not just a feeling. It's something that you do. And the goal of this story isn't simply to get us to utter these 3 words, I forgive you. But the goal of this story is to lead us to make that choice by our actions and by our behavior. And so while we see here in the summit, as I would call it, of chapter 45, an incredible story of forgiveness, we're not going to see Joseph say, and finally he said, I forgive you. But there, I don't know, other second to the story of Jesus on the cross, I don't know of another place in the Bible to find a greater visual picture of forgiveness and reconciliation than right here in Genesis chapter 45. This chapter helps us finish the sentence, forgiveness is. As a matter of fact, I've given you this chapter, the whole chapter, to read in your life groups, and I've given you forgiveness is a sentence I want to encourage you to finish when you're together in your group. So we're going to read just the first half of the chapter, and I'm going to share with you how I learned to end that sentence, forgiveness is, from what I discovered, and then I'm going to let you and your groups dig deeper into these truths that are there. Now, before we read the chapter, some of you are here for the first time, and you may be in the church world for the first time, you may be in the book of Genesis for the first time, so I'm not going to live under the assumption, oh yeah, Joseph got that. This is an incredible story of an individual whose brothers deeply hurt him many years ago. They attempted to kill him. I mean, who's got siblings that have done that here? They attempted to kill him, and then they said, wait, let's make some money off of him. And so they sold him into slavery. And so those 2 things alone, from a worldly point of view, are enough for a person to feel justified to hold hatred and bitterness against someone for the rest of their lives. And we would go, yeah, I get that. But Joseph's heart was willing. Joseph's heart was pliable to the work of God. And so we see in the story God working through Joseph's heart to create in him a forgiving and merciful heart, which is really the very reflection of the heart of God. And so you see, church, what really is happening here is we're learning a story about forgiveness. We're really just learning about what it means to be like God in Christ. And so after 20 years of not seeing his brothers who had so deeply hurt him, after having suffered the horrible consequences of what they did to him, God is all over this story. And by his divine guidance, he leads them on these steps. And we've just been walking through these steps, chapters 42 through 44. We're calling them the steps of reconciliation, confrontation. They've come together face to face. The one who hurt you, the one you have hurt, they've come together. There's crying. It's a lot of emotional pain in this story. We're going to see a lot of crying in chapter 45. There is conviction we saw, this feeling of remorse. The ESV calls it distress for what they've done. There's a confession, admitting their wrongdoing, and then there is this blessing, this kindness that Joseph shows to the ones who have hurt him. And so finally, we saw last week this one other step to reconciliation that just pushed Joseph over the edge and caused him to completely let go of what they had done to him and forgive was change. Change. Joseph saw that his brothers had changed, and this is reflected through his brother Judah. And once Joseph saw that his brothers weren't the same, once Joseph saw that they had truly changed, it's like a dam burst. The dam broke, and waters of mercy and love and grace flowed from Joseph. Incredible story. The walls of separation, the walls just came tumbling down in this story. And up to this point, Joseph's brothers had not recognized him, and Joseph had pretended that he was somebody else for his own protection, you might say. But now, the walls come down, the mask comes off, and Joseph reveals himself. Let's enter the story right there in chapter 45 and verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud. So the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, just see this as I read it. "I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers, and can you understand this? Their jaws were dropped. His brothers couldn't answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, oh, listen to this. "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many servants. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and head and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go get my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you. There you will... For there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father and all my honor in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept. Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. I'll let you finish reading the rest of that chapter and discussing it further in your groups. I'm just going to give you 8 bullet points. This could be, you know me, this could be an 8-month or at least an 8-week series. I just want to move through this chapter and share with you how I learned so much about forgiveness. Forgiveness is, first of all, number one, Forgiveness is not a public display. I was impressed the way Joseph, before he did anything, says, I need all of you, just everybody but my brothers, I need y'all to leave the room. And I think I noticed that. I think I noticed that because I would have might been inclined to say, I want the rest of you guys to see and to hear what my brother, I'm going to forgive them, but let me just tell you what they did to me. But true forgiveness does not parade in front of others what someone has done to you. Love covers a multitude of sin. And so if you let others that are not involved in a conflict know what someone else has done to you, you've not forgiven them. That's actually a form of vengeance. That's a form of fighting. That's a form of, let me see if I can get some people on my side of this conflict. That is sinful gossip. Now, I'm not talking about going to someone for counseling. That's different. Forgiveness is not a public display. Also, and some of this is repetition, but if God repeats it, then I guess he's got a reason for it. And so who am I to not go with the direction God has us to go in this text. Secondly, we see that forgiveness is not an easy feeling. Is that not obvious? What kind of crying and weeping? It says in verse 2 that he wept so loudly that people closed the doors, people outside, people even in Pharaoh's house, they could hear him. They were just, he was just wailing. And when he saw his brother Benjamin, it wasn't, oh, there's Benjamin. It says he just wept upon him. He fell upon Benjamin's neck and wept. In verse 15, with his brothers, he's weeping upon his brothers. Like, why is he crying? I mean, how could he not cry? I guess I'm thinking. Can you imagine all the pent-up feelings that had been built up for 20 years? The broad spectrum of feelings of all that they had done to him and all that had happened to them, and 20 years or more, probably 22, of so much of missing all that had gone on in his family's life. These feelings of anger, I hate them, and love, they're my brothers, I want to forgive them. And all of a sudden the dam breaks and just, he's free of all, just a flow of emotions. Tears can be healing. But make no mistake about it, this isn't easy. You know, hey, I forgive you. We've talked about this before because we've seen it before here in this text. And that's really important because we are in a culture that has a tendency, if something is not easy, then I'm just going to avoid it. I'm just going to set it to the side. I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to leave up a big wall. This is too painful. This is too hard. And I've said it how many times already in this series, the right thing is often not the easy thing. Forgiveness is not an easy feeling. Regardless of how I feel, this is right. This is what love would have me to do. Also, we see that forgiveness is not keeping a cold distance, and this is what I need to hear. I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. If you're mean to me, if you hurt my feelings, I'm probably not going to be mean back to you directly. I'm probably just going to give you a cold shoulder. That's just the way I do it, I guess. Passive aggressive. If I see you there, I'm going here. And if I walk past you, it's going to be very casual, very cold. I need to change. Joseph says to his brothers in verse 4, I think this is my favorite part of the chapter, come near to me. And like, he's in control. He's got power in Egypt to do with them whatever he wants to do. After, because of them, he's been in prison. And you might be thinking the brothers are going, Reuben, you go first. Like, oh no, is he going to kick us? Is he going to knife? Is he going to put handcuffs on us? Or perhaps they're thinking, after all that we did to you, after attempting to kill you, after we sold you as a slave, and you're asking us to come near to you? Verse 4, and they came near. And then you notice, go, hurry. I love the way, hurry. I want to see my dad. He sends them back to go get Jacob, their father, to come and live in Egypt. But did you notice in verses 9 and 10, he says, come down to me. You shall be near me. That's where he wanted them. This is physical. This is visible. This is real. This is tangible reconciliation. Bringing back together those who were separated by hurt and conflict. There's no cold shoulder here. Forgiveness is not keeping a cold distance. And also, we see in verse 5, forgiveness is relieving the other of shame and guilt. I love the way he said to them, don't be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. This isn't, and maybe the reason I notice this is because there's still a part of me that would have said, I forgive you. I don't know if I would have said it, but I might have felt it. But I'm kind of cool with you feeling bad about it for the rest of your life. Because that just seems right. The Hebrew word that we're going to see in chapter 50 for forgiveness is nasa. And it means to lift, to bear, to take something, and to carry it away. And so, while we don't hear Joseph say, I forgive you, he lifts and takes away the shame and the guilt he knew that they were feeling. And he wants them to forgive themselves. Like, this is really true forgiveness. Forgiveness is relieving the other of shame and guilt, or it's not forgiveness. Verse 5, we discover this. Forgiveness is not minimizing an offense. Did you notice he says here, says to his brothers, you sold me here. Like Joseph, did you have to tell them what they did? You sold me here. Like this happened. And this hurt. This is not what too often happens. Joseph is not saying, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's no big deal. It wasn't okay. It wasn't. It was a big deal. But see, that's what makes forgiveness so incredibly amazing. That's what we're saying today. It's amazing grace. It's not, oh, it's no big problem. It's huge. It's horrible what happened. But here's why this is so important. I think one of the obstacles why I or we might hold back from forgiving someone else is because I'm afraid if I show forgiveness to someone else, that's me showing that I'm minimizing what they have done. And that's me giving them the impression that, oh, it's okay, when it's really not okay. That's an obstacle in forgiveness. But forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. It's maximizing love and grace to cover the offense. Oh, let's hear that. Forgiveness is not minimizing the offense, but it's maximizing grace and love to cover the offense. And then also, you can't miss it in this chapter, because it's like the pivotal point here. And I couldn't figure out a way to say this in short. Forgiveness is achieved by the realization of God's sovereign purpose in my life. In verse 5, he says, you sold me here. But then, he says, but you know what? Verse 8, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. And like, what they did was great in a negative sense, but God's sovereign purpose and plan in Joseph's life was greater, and the hurt against Joseph, it couldn't stop God and God's purpose and God's plan in Joseph's life, which was actually to save the lives of his brothers who had hurt him and the lives of many others in Egypt because of the famine. You see, I learned to forgive when I realized that how horrible it was of what someone did to me. God's still in control. Not that person and not that hurt that they brought against me. God is still in control, and God is still working out his good and sovereign purpose in my life in spite of what you did to me. Therefore, this positions me to be able to forgive. This is not in this story, guys, I forgive you, but I just want you to see what you've done to me, how you've ruined my life. When one is hurt, there's a tendency, you don't want the person who hurt you to see that you're doing okay and that God's worked things out in your life, because then they're going, oh, okay, good. Well, didn't really matter what I did. Anyway, that attitude is not an attitude of true forgiveness. Sure, the offense was bad, but no one and nothing has the power to ruin your life or to thwart God's purpose and work in your life, not unless you give them that power. God is greater. So that's why the subtitle of this series is Choosing Forgiveness in God's Sovereign Purpose. And then also we see forgiving is showing kindness and blessing to the one who hurt you. Do you see that in verse 10? He says, hey guys, I want you to stay here. Like, I forgive you, and like, could you just leave? No, I want you to live here. I don't want you to live on the streets. I want you to live in Goshen. This was like, just, he was giving them a beautiful place to live. Rich, fertile soil. And then in verse 11, as they're in the midst of a severe famine, Joseph tells his brothers who tried to kill him, but then changed their mind and sold him as a slave. He says in verse 22, I'm going to take care of you. I will provide for you. And as a matter of fact, I don't think I read this, but it's in the second half of the chapter. These are the guys, remember, they stripped him of his clothing, that beautiful robe that he had. He gave them a change of clothes, new clothes. This is kindness, and blessing, and forgiveness. This is not, I forgive you, but you can get lost now. I never want to see you again, and good luck surviving the famine. This is Jesus. Jesus' words, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. They hated him. Bless those who curse you. They cursed him. And such actions can take the one who has, because of their actions, become your enemy and transform them back into a close friend or family member, as Joseph's story shows us. This is mercy. With this forgiveness is mercy and grace. Joseph, in that moment, could have, should have said, to prison, away with you, or let's just kill them. Joseph did not give them what they deserved, which was punishment. That's mercy. But instead, he showered them with kindness and blessings. That's grace. And then finally, forgiveness is reinforced and reassured by body language. Did you see that? Verse 15. He kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked to him. Do you see the body language? Listen, never underestimate the power of body language. Joseph could have stood there with his arms crossed with a stern look and said, I forgive you. But they would have wondered, like, really, has he forgiven us? But man, when he's embracing them, when he's weeping over them, and then when he's kissing them, It gives reinforcement and reassurance, so much so that while early in verse 3, when he said, "Hey, I'm Joseph," that they couldn't answer them, they were speechless. Now with this action of reinforcement and reassurance, it says now his brothers talk to him. This is forgiveness. This is beautiful reconciliation. And I read this and I thought to myself of some people that have hurt me deeply in my life. And I asked myself, could I kiss them? I don't want to kiss them. I forgive you. It's one thing to say I forgive. It's another to show it. In a relationship with a family member who has hurt me, from time to time, circumstances bring us together at gatherings, just the way it is with family gatherings. And when we see one another, I guess we have this unspoken, I guess we got to do this. We give a pretend greeting, casual, "Hey, good to see you." And we, most of the time when we see one another, we even hug, and it's one of those stiff hugs. But we both know underneath, we're not good. We know that. We just don't say it. We know that there's hurt. And so I was anticipating another family gathering and seeing this person, but I happened to be doing this in Genesis 45, and it happened to be convicting me. So I said, it's got to be different. It's got to be different. And this, I said, okay, here's my plan. And so, come to the family gathering. The family gathering is over. And it's time for us all to leave. And I seek this person out. And I give them the biggest bear hug. And I hold them. Hold them. I tell them I love them. And then I gave them a kiss on the cheek. And held them. Then they left to their car and came back for seconds. And I gave another big hug and I kissed them. No, I leaned in to kiss them on the cheek and missed the cheek and hit the ear. It's like that was really awkward. It was really gross. But it was clear in that moment, by our body language, that we had taken a step forward toward healing. And like in this story, I just began to cry. I began to weep. So that's how this story spoke to me. How does it speak to you? What is God calling you not just to say? I know this is hard, all right? But what's he calling you to do from this incredible story of forgiveness and reconciliation? How is God in your life calling you to finish the sentence, "Forgiveness is"? And I said earlier in the story that Joseph's actions reflect the very heart of God, a heart of forgiveness. In view of all of the hurt and the pain that we have caused God, our Father, our family member, by our sin, in Christ, he came to us. He came to this earth and with outstretched arms speaks and has spoken to us, "Come near to me." And with outstretched arms, he showed us mercy, not giving us what our sins deserve, but took our sins upon himself. That is mercy. And then rose from the dead, giving us the gift of grace through his resurrection, giving us a hope of a chance to start again. A chance of new life. A chance of blessings. So undeserved. Church, what we have seen today is the gospel of Jesus Christ extended to us. and the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are called to extend to others. This is God's word to us today. Would you stand as we pray? Thank you, Father, for the powerful way. I hope everybody else saw what I saw here, because I got it again just retelling it. You blow us away. You're amazing and incredible, beyond amazing and incredible. And may we see and grasp and hear as we sing, you call us to come into your presence, to come near to you. You shower upon us. The dam is bursted and just mercy and grace and forgiveness flows from you over us. Oh, we worship you for that. We thank you for that. If there's anyone in this room, Lord, who has never made contact and accepted you as Lord and Savior of their lives, God, I pray that they will yield their lives to you in baptism to receive these blessings. But God, may it be more than that. May all of us leave here and just may the dam break in our lives, and may mercy and grace and love and forgiveness flow from us. And Father, I pray that you will speak to us now in this moment. Help us to finish the sentence in our own individual lives and show us to whom we should finish the sentence. Forgiveness is. Oh, Father, bring healing. Bring down walls, heal family conflicts, restore relationships. Father, heal marriages. And let us be free of the burden of unforgiveness that we've been carrying. So we're going to now offer a song to God in prayer, and if you've come this morning with a heavy burden on your heart, there's a shepherd and some others in our prayer room you can go pray with, or if you just want to reach out to someone here in this room, I would encourage you to take this time for prayer, or if you know someone that needs your prayers, that needs a hug, maybe needs a kiss, I would encourage you to go to them as we worship God with a song.